pray for the season, Wanda. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. Wow, look at the choir. We're surrounded by choirs. Maybe we're in heaven. Yeah. That's fantastic. And the bells will be here soon. That is so fantastic. Thank you to our musicians who, you know, really makes our life and our worship. So thank you so much for all that you do to lift our hearts and take us to heaven. Yeah, even while we're here. Have a number of announcements to share with you this morning. So let's see, where shall we? Oh, the first announcement, of course. Are any of you hungry? Yeah, there's going to be potluck after church. I'll try not to preach too long, but there's potluck after church. Yeah. And the rest of you, you're invited too. Come on down, join us for potluck downstairs. Lots of good food and good conversation. A program note. For those of you who are very, very careful readers of the bulletin, the morning hymn, the number up there, and the number in your bulletin is correct, or are correct. Those two numbers are correct, 117. The title in the bulletin of the hymn is incorrect. So if you open to the number and you go, oh, that's not the song, the number is what you go by. 117, that will be our opening hymn. Was it last Saturday night?
Last Saturday night,
we had another poetry slam. And Hans and I have been kind of holding our breath a little bit. The first time we did it, we had really good poets and not too many people to hear it. And then the next one, we had some poets, but not enough. And then we're thinking, how's it going to go? Last time we had 45 people. We had to get out more chairs. We had some great poetry. We had a lot of people talking about, oh, we want to come back. We gave Hans their email so he could remind them. Our next poetry slam is January 5, Saturday night. So I hope you'll be here. Hope maybe you'll have some poetry to share, some statement story from your life that you can share with us as a community. So yes, Hans, thank you for putting that together and pushing it forward. Even Hans did a poem last time. Yep. So, making of a poet there. Okay. Paradise Fire Relief, announcement in your bulletin. You'll notice in the finance section in your bulletin, so far over $6,000 have been contributed. Thank you so much. It's one of those things where, you know, it's almost no amount of money can address the problem. It's so huge. 50,000 people across California displaced by fires. But when a problem is big, even when you can't solve it, it's important that you do what you can. We do what we can. So thank you for your generosity. This week would be the last time we'll mention it, but if you would like to contribute to the relief efforts for the, well, and this specifically, we've been collecting money for the Adventist school there. You know, they're meeting now in the church in Chico. Most of the kids had their homes destroyed by fire. It's a tough spot. Terry, do you want to talk about the gift cards? All right.
This is the last call for, if you want to contribute for gift cards, for food support for the 30 families at Greenwood Elementary. I need to get the cards to them this coming week so you can put money in the offering plate and designate that on the envelopes if you want. You can give me money or cards today, or if you are not prepared but you want to contribute, talk to me today. Or I guess you can email me Sunday. But I need to know ASAP if you're planning to contribute. In case you have somehow missed all the previous announcements, these are 30 families at Greenwood Elementary who the community support worker has made sure that they get food every weekend during the school year, but of course during the Christmas break they're not in school, so that stops. So this is to provide food support for those families, and since Shirley Mayer was concerned about gifts for these kids, so another group is getting gifts for these kids. We're providing food support. So we're asking for $25 or $50 gift cards to Fred Meyer specifically, because that's in their neighborhood, and versatile for their needs. I missed anything about that? I don't think. Well, if there are any questions, grab me today. I'll be at potluck. And then, oh, I should also add that those families are families who are homeless, immigrants, or people who have moved here and things did not work out as expected. The other thing I'm asking for, I'm looking for volunteers to help both with the setup and the cleanup. And you can volunteer for one or the other. I don't expect somebody who helps with the setup to also do the cleanup, but this is for the Christmas breakfast for December 22nd. So somebody helps set up tables and do the decorating, and then some folks to do the cleanup afterwards.
Something else that Terry has helped move forward, but I'm going to do the recruiting, is today, this evening, across the street at Green Lake, there is an annual event called the Pathway of Lights. And they put lights around the lake, and people come and they walk around the lake. And it is Christmas in Seattle. And there are thousands and thousands of people out there walking around the lake. There's hardly room to walk on the sidewalk. And right at the front of our sidewalk, from the front door of the church, we're going to have a table, and we're going to offer people hot chocolate and say, "Hi from Green Lake Church, Merry Christmas from Green Lake Church." And we will give out flyers advertising our Christmas concert, which is next Friday. If you're available to help with this hospitality, it does require that you're able to put hot chocolate in cups, or, so we need different skill sets. If you're able to pour from a pitcher into a cup, you might be qualified to help. Or if you are capable of smiling at somebody you haven't met yet, then you're definitely qualified for this. So, you know, the skill set's pretty, you know, it's pretty well defined, but if you might be able to do either of those and you have any time, we'd love to have you. We're going to be out there from 4 to 7.
Is it
4:30? Thank you, Terry. 4:30 to 7:30, or until we run out of hot chocolate. And if you could help for part of that time, we don't need you to be there all that time, but if you could come and spend some time, half hour or an hour, that would be really great. So talk to Terry, talk to me, or show up and help. That would be lovely. Oh. And I'll just mention that one of the flyers we're handing out are flyers that have been will be in the mail this next week to the neighborhood, inviting them to the Christmas concert. You are going to be here next Friday night, right? And you're going to invite your neighborhoods, your neighbors, and the people at work, and your aunts and uncles, and grandkids. It's the 54th annual Christmas concert. You can't miss it. You got to be here, and you'll be so glad you did. So hope we can do that. Selena, why don't you talk to us about December 23?
Good morning. It's nice to see you guys. First, I want to thank everybody who came last month to help us serve the homeless for Thanksgiving dinner. It was just amazing. The turnout was really great. We had so many people come. And we were also blessed by the people who reached out to us and just told us how blessed they were with the food we prepare. And they asked me to tell you guys that Green Lake serves the best food. So thank you. So for this month, we will be serving the Christmas dinner on the 23rd. And I am asking for volunteers, because I know there's a lot of people who are moving, going out of town. So if you are around the 23rd and can serve dinner at 4:30, I would love you to come. But most importantly, if you cannot come, we are collecting socks, mittens, and wool caps to provide to the homeless people who we know with the January coming around the corner and how cold it gets. They were really appreciative when we did this for them last year. So December 23rd is the homeless dinner. It will be a Christmas one. We would love to serve them something really nice. If you're available, please come 4:30 at the Lutheran Church. Thank you.
Okay, I was just looking to see if you could see, but you can't, so I'm going to pick it up. Here on the platform, there are three vases. I know somebody's going to say I should say vase, but I say vase. I'm from the South. Three vases with white roses. And if you look in your bulletin, there's an explanation about these roses. It has been a long tradition in Green Lake. Nobody has told me how long this tradition is. I'm sure it's 20 years. Is it 50 years? I don't know. But for a long time, when a baby is born to somebody in the church, we place a white rose on the platform. Usually it would be on the communion table, but it's Christmas time. And the communion table is not there, so we put them here. And the babies that we are remembering here, we have mentioned their births before, but we're going to read them again today. Riley Gardner, daughter of Trevor Gardner and Heidi Teste. She's the sister of Grayson. Don't want to leave him out. Langston James Henry Hayes. What a name for a little guy. Son of Callie and Jeremy Hayes. And Emily Laura Lee Cyberlick. Daughter of Whitney and Christina Cyberlick, and sister of Anna. Yes, Magnus. Magnus Hayes is the brother of Langston. So those are the people that these roses are for, and then already we are out of date, which is a lovely thing. More babies are being born. I walked into the church yesterday and was immediately greeted by somebody who said, "You did want to see the picture of my grandchild, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, of course, I was asking." And then I walked into church this morning and somebody else said, "Oh, you came to see the picture of my grandchild. Why else would you have come?" They were beautiful children. So babies are popping, and it's wonderful, and more on the way. How wonderful, and what appropriate thing to do at Christmas time to celebrate the babies that God gifts us with. So to the families that are represented by these roses, God's richest blessing, and to the babies that have come and are on the way, may God bless them all. Now I invite you to stand, greet one another, pass God's peace here in God's house.
Thank you.
I'll invite you to find your seats. I invite you to take your hymnals and open them to our opening hymn, number 117. Hymn number 117, The Advent of Our God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth, thank you for making us also your people. God of the wise men and shepherds, and Joseph and Mary, be also our God. And through us, care for your children, those who are close and those who are far. Grant that in the week to come, we may act as agents of your kingdom, to bring hope and help and healing is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Shalom, peace. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings glad tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Shalom. Let us hear the Lord speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Shalom. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. Shalom. In a world of strife, the Lord says, my children, do as I teach you. Live at peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Shalom. For the Lord unto us is born the child. For us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace. Shalom.
Happy Sabbath. Today's offering is for Adventist Community Services here in the North American Division. And this ministry equips pastors and lay members with skills and knowledge that they need to help out their church and community. And Adventist Community Services is made up of 7 different aspects in which they help the community. And that involves disaster response, emotional and spiritual care, community development, older adult ministry, hope for humanity, young adult emergency services, and tutoring mentoring programs for youth. At this time, can you please bow your heads with me as we bless this offering? Father in heaven, we experience your blessings every day, and your blessings are always given freely and with ultimate love. I pray that all offerings today are also given out of love. Please bless the tithes and offerings in your name. Amen.
It's about this woman. She was a very, very rich woman. And everywhere she went, she would help people. So she would go to different places, different countries, and she would help people. If there were sick people, she would help them. She would bring them home to make them feel better. If there were people that were hungry, she would bring them to her house and feed them. There are people that needed clothes to wear. She would do that. She would sew these clothes and give them to them, those people. So she was a great, great woman. And a lot of people thought the reason why she was doing all of these things is because of all the money that she had. But that wasn't the case. Because when she was younger, when she was about your age, she was very, very poor. And there was this guy, also poor, in the same village, and he used to help those who had less than him. And he was poor too. And what made them one was that they realized that God's character is not described by the things that they have, but rather by the things that they do. So John's going to talk more about that in his sermon. And yeah, go get your buckets.
Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us safely to this place today. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and in praise. And as we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. We want to specifically uplift Doris Foltz, who is dealing with heart problems, Jennifer Cummings, who is struggling with ALS, Virginia Bach, with health concerns, and Becky Meacham, who's recovering from surgery. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessing to be on them. We invite your Holy Spirit to move freely amongst us today. Come dwell in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, and teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your ways. And Father, as we meet now, may we witness your beauty and encounter your grace. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings 10, 1 through 7, 10. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold, and precious jewels. When she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything she had in her mind. Solomon had answers for everything she had on her mind. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba realized how very wise Solomon was, and she saw the palace he had built, she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his tables, the organization of his officials, and their splendid clothing, the cupbearers and the burnt offering Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. She exclaimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told." Then she gave the king a gift of 9,000 pounds of gold, great quantities of spices and precious jewels. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon.
The New Testament reading is from John 7, 31 to 32 and 45 to 51. Many among the crowds at the temple believed in him. After all, they said, "Would you expect the Messiah to do more miraculous signs than this man has done?" When the Pharisees heard that the crowds were whispering such things, they and the leading priests sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. When the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees demanded, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "We have never heard anyone speak like this," the guards responded. "Have you been led astray too?" the Pharisees mocked. "Is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him? This foolish crowd follows him, but they are ignorant of the law. God's curse is on them." Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. "Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing?" he asked. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen.
To hear the news, the angels.
Friday, a week ago. I was down the street having coffee with a guy named Bill. Not his real name, but it'll do. Bill went to church here at Green Lake, I think something like 35 years ago. Briefly. And we had reconnected recently because he had read some stuff I had written, and I had read some stuff he had written, and we thought a conversation might be interesting, and it was. It was a good time. Bill, when he got out of school, went into the ministry, but after a few years, he quit the ministry, he left God and church, and went off into business, and did very well, thank you. And part of our conversation, real smiles on his face. He talked about 20 or 30 orphanages that he had funded the construction of. Talked about some other places where he's able to use his money to do stuff that he could stand back and go, oh, that felt good. And then he told some business stories that were quite interesting. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that's a whole different world. Yeah. Millions and millions of dollars that flow through somebody's hands. I go, I wonder what that feels like. But we had a good time talking together. We're connected because of church, deep roots in church. And in this case, specifically, Green Lake Church. Connected because this is our place. For him, it's a place of memory. For me, it's my present life. But this is where we connect. A few days later, I'm sitting here in the church listening to Green Lake people, Green Lake family talk about a sudden, terrifying diagnosis. We talked about fear and terror of death. We talked about the fear and terror of bankruptcy. It's expensive to be sick in America. I'm not sure how they're going to do. We talked together, we prayed together, we'll do some strategizing together. Again, that conversation happened because we're church. And here in church, that's part of our story. Scary diagnoses, money troubles. And all week long, as I'm thinking about my favorite Christmas story, which is the wise men, the reason it's, don't tell anybody, the reason it's my favorite story is because it got old men in it. I get along with old men. It's kind of fun to hang out with them. And I really like to hang out with rich old men. And there they are. And I imagine in my head a crash. Now, some of you are Bible students enough that you'll be thinking, you know, the crash scene is, it's not right. Because you got the shepherds and the wise men, and they didn't show up at the same time in the story. They weren't both there at the manger. Come on. I'm going, quit. Just imagine, in your mind, let's put a crash on the stage. Over here, the three, it's got to be three, right? The three old dudes from Persia in their luxurious robes, and we'll put crowns on their head, and they're standing there. Oh, no, they can't cross their arms. They've got their gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, extravagant gifts. And then you have Joseph. Then you have Mary sitting here, and in front of her is the manger, and there's nice yellow straw, and you can see just the tips of the baby. Nose sticking up, feet. And over here are the shepherds. The shepherd number is a little more flexible, right? Depending on how many kids you have in primary, that's how many shepherds you have. Right? Yeah. We can have lots of shepherds. And they're all focused on the baby. Christmas is about the baby. I was so excited that we had our roses today. Here, let's pick them all up. Oops. There's actually three vases here. Yeah. Babies. We like babies in this church. Why? Because we're Christians. And it's Christmas. Christmas is, you can't have Christmas without a baby, right? You think of the way the crash is constructed. Right there in the middle is the baby. And I got, it was so funny. Yesterday, Verla showed up with this, with her car full of all these poinsettias. And I go out to get poinsettias, and she said, "You didn't come to see poinsettias. Here, let me show you what you came to see." Actually, I had the presence of mind before she pulled out her phone. I asked about the grandbaby. I couldn't remember whether it had already come or it was coming, but I remembered there was a grandbaby, and how do you impress people? You ask about the grandchildren. And she said, "You do want to see a picture." Well, of course I wanted to see the picture, right? I mean, I'm not dumb. I wanted to see the picture. And then I went into beginners, and Sherry Roberts knew why I was there. I had come to beginners to see the picture of her new grandbaby. William Richard Farnsworth. I even remembered the baby's name. It hadn't been here yet. That's good, right? One of our grand traditions as a church, baby showers. Some of these babies, of course we do a baby shower. They live at the center of our congregation. And some of these babies we scarcely know. But if somehow we can claim that baby as a Green Lake baby, two or three steps removed maybe, we do a baby shower. We join the wise men and we bring gifts. It's as Christian a ritual as communion itself. Because Christianity is centered in this story that God showed up as a baby. And so when grandparents pull out their phones and start snapping pictures, it's a Christian act because Christians adore the child. And when wise men travel 1,000 miles on their camels to visit the baby, we go, "Yeah, that's us. That's a smart thing to do because the baby." Now, can I flip things around for just a few minutes? Turn the camera around. Imagine instead of us being the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and the wise men all with their phones out taking pictures of the baby. Imagine that we are the baby looking at these gathered people. And what do we see when we look the other direction, when we turn the camera around? What do we see? When they went downstairs to beginners, and Sherry showed me the picture of her grandbaby. Then she showed me a picture of her grandbaby, figuratively speaking, in the manger. And gathered around the manger were Sherry and Rick. Oh boy, Elizabeth and Peter, I think are the parents' names. And then the parents-in-law of their daughter. So you have all these grown-ups, two sets of grandparents, mom and dad. And in the middle, the baby. I go, oh, that's a cool picture. But just this week, Elise Lambeth put a picture on Facebook. It reminded me of this one, but it reversed it. You had in the center of the picture the proudest grandpa you've ever seen, her dad. And over there was grandma somewhere, but in the middle was grandpa. And he had this grin on his face. It was like, these are mine. And I can't remember, is there 6 or 7 grandkids, you know, around them? And I said to Sherry, and Jerry, this was such a cool picture because I know Jerry's got to be the proudest grandpa ever. And even as I said that, I thought, that's not going to stand. Sherry's not going to let me get away with that. So even before she stopped me, I said, well, at least he's in the competition to be the proudest grandpa ever. And she said, oh, it's a good thing you caught yourself there. Here, let me show you a picture of Rick holding his grandbaby. And yeah, an unbiased judge would have a hard time telling which one was prouder. We rightly celebrate the child and make the point that the center of our faith, at the very center of our faith, is the conviction that God showed up in the person of a baby who was very needy. Needy as all babies are, and then with the extra neediness of a baby who has arrived in a place that parents were not at home and they have no resources. And we see God is there. But if we got down in the manger, or maybe right behind the manger, hiding behind the manger, and we look up at the shepherds and the Holy Family and the wise men, I'm going to argue we also see God looking that direction. In Matthew 5, probably the passage of scripture you've heard me quote more than any others or refer to, Jesus says, you know, be kind to your enemies. Why? Because that's how you act like your Father in heaven. God is like somebody who is super rich and has so much to give and spend, he doesn't need to be careful. And so he blows his sunshine on the good people and the bad people. He wastes his rain indiscriminately. And Jesus says, be like that. So when we see these three guys who have traveled 1,000 miles on their camel to bring presents to this baby in the manger, that is a vision of God. When we look at the creche, the traditional creche scenes, we're really looking at a symbolic representation of the church. You have the entire range of humanity, the rich dudes and the poor shepherds, who in that society were somewhat social outcasts. You have the foreigners and the natives. You have all of humanity together in one picture, and it's a picture of us as the church. So when I visited with Bill and he talks about the millions that are available to him to build orphanages and to do other exciting things, and I sit and listen to somebody talk about a scary diagnosis and wondering how they're going to pay all the things that are going, the financial consequences of that, we are one family. And the glory of Bill's work is our glory. And the need of that family is our need. We are one family. The distinctive vision of Christianity, it seems to me, is to take the particular connection that we understand in the context of a close family, and then to invite us to lift our eyes and see that it is in fact the whole human family that is God's family. And the church is to be a creche, a theater, where God's authentic family connection is displayed. So if we are rich, let's get on our camels and go find a baby. And if we are shepherds, find somebody to watch the sheep, go find the baby. And if we are babies in need of care, may God grant that we can find help here, because that's who we are.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.